Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Today on the podcast, we're going to discuss one of the greatest chess matches of all time and a great tiddlywink contest. And no, we're not. It's April Fool's, everybody. We're talking about football, and it's coming up in just a second. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen on America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Gene and Mike Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the great tunes, let's go no huddle through today's top stories of American football history.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to our April 1st, the April Fool's edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch. I hope we didn't fool you too much on that initial podcast reading talking about the other sports, because you know this is a gridiron football podcast on football history. But we do have some great stories of some great April Fool's pranks that we want to start off with. And as we have football fans, we greatly appreciate having broadcasts of our favorite games in color to enjoy the vivid colors and pageantry of the gridiron. With this being said, on April Fool's Day, I wanted to share with you a great prank completed back in 1962 from Sweden's only television network, Sweden's SVT Television. And I'm not even going to try to say the name on it. It brought in technical expert Kjell Stensson to the news to inform the public that thanks to a new technology, remember back in 1962, viewers can convert their existing sets to display color reception. At the time, there was only one TV channel in Sweden, and it broadcasted in black and white. So that was big news to everybody in Sweden. Stensson explained that all viewers had to do was put a nylon stocking over their TV screen, and the mesh would cause the light to bend in such a way that it would appear as if the image was in color. He proceeded to demonstrate the process, and thousands of people were taken in. Swedes today are still report remembering that their fathers rushing to buy pantyhose hose and the rush around the house going through their mother's drawers and everything to put pantyhose over top of their TV set and regular broadcasts. They wouldn't come on to Sweden until April 1st of 1970. That's just a coincidence it was April 1st on 1970, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe they did it on purpose just to help out that prank they did some 8 years earlier. But that is a great story that we got from hoaxes.org. We have a link to that on our website. You can check that out. PigskinDispatch.com, the April 1st edition of the Post. Another great prank that was pulled off fooling a nationally recognized newspaper, the New York Times, captures a story from an undefeated football team from Plainfield Teachers College. It sounds like a pretty good story to tell, too. And the only problem was that Plainfield Teachers College didn't exist. The calculated story took 6 weeks as Morris Neuberger, the author of a piece that he penned under the name of Jerry Croydon, made up name. It was about a legendary quarterback without any weaknesses, and he played really close attention to the meticulous detail about the team, including, you know, the W formation to help the team preserve a perfect record. And the beauty of this prank was not only did it fool the New York Times, which published the stories almost every week of those 6 weeks, but it fooled college fans all around the nation, and the prank went so far to report that the Plainfield Comets would be challenging to compete in a bowl game as their winning streak continued. We got that from a Bleacher Report story. You can also find that on pigskindispatch.com for the April 1st edition. Make sure you check that out because that is some great pranks that really fooled a lot of people. Now let's get to some real stories. I promise you no more April Fool's jokes on this April 1st. And we're going to go to some birthdays of Hall of Famers. In 1889 is our first one, Plattsmouth, Nebraska. The great Naval Academy halfback from 1908 to 1911, John Dalton arrived in this life. The National Football Foundation's bio on John shows that he twice kicked field goals to defeat arch-rival Army. His 35-yard kick in 1910 gave the midshipman a 3-0 victory, an unbeaten record in a season when Navy held every opponent scoreless that year. The next year, it was another 3-0 Navy victory over Army in an identical Dalton's 35-yard field goal. It was Dalton's final game when he ended. He had an emotional tribute to his teammates. He said, "Boys, this is the proudest moment of my life because I led a group of fighters to victory." John played prep school ball in St. Louis and attended Christian Brothers College there before his appointment to the Naval Academy. April 1st, 1897, Silver Creek, New York. Joe "Doc" Alexander, the Syracuse University guard from 1916 to 1920 seasons, was born. The NFF's bio on Doc shares that Alexander was a 3-time All-American selection, making it as a guard in 1918 and 1919, and as a center in 1920. Doc, in 1918 against Rutgers, picked up a loose ball and ran 75 yards for a touchdown. He started in 1919's win over Pittsburgh, handing the Panthers their first loss in four seasons. The National Football Foundation voters set the gridiron history of Doc Alexander into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1954. Joe was in fact a medical doctor later, that's where he got his nickname a doc from, and he specialized in lung diseases and helped found one of the first tuberculosis centers in New York. Joe made it to the pros, and for seven seasons, he played in the National Football League on weekends while practicing medicine during the week. He was playing and was a coach with the New York Giants in 1926, posting an 8-4-1 record. So he's a player coach when you're in the NFL, and he was practicing medicine during the week. That's just an amazing tribute to a great mind and how he could do all that, fill his time. I don't know, but he did a great job at both. April 1st, 1950, Havana, Cuba. The outstanding University of Florida wide receiver from 1969 to 1971, Carlos Alvarez was born. Alvarez, at the age of 10, this family fled Fidel Castro's communist regime in Cuba and settled in Miami. Carlos began his varsity season for the Gators by showing his Hall of Fame potential. In his first collegiate game, he caught a ball against Houston and went 70 yards for a touchdown. Florida beat the Cougars 59-34 thanks to 182 yards receiving from Alvarez. Remember, that's his first game in college. In a regular season finale against rival Miami Hurricanes, Carlos helped the Gators taste victory with a 35-16 triumph by grabbing 15 receptions for 237 yards, a school record that stands to this day. It was in his sophomore season that he had displayed his best single season records as he had receptions of 88 during the season and had 1,329 yards receiving and 12 touchdowns en route to becoming the youngest player ever to make the AFCA All-America team. He also made more All-American teams as a sophomore than any player since Doak Walker in 1947. Although Alvarez was slowed by knee injuries later in his career, he still holds Florida's all-time mark with 2,563 receiving yards and places him among the top 10 with 19 touchdown catches in his career. Alvarez holds another Florida record with 25 consecutive contests with a reception. On top of that, Carlos was an outstanding student as he is honored both as a first-team Academic All-American in 1969 and second-team Academic All-American from 1970 to 1971. The gifted wideout was inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2011. Once again, we are so appreciative that you joined us here on the Football History Headlines and the Pigskin Daily History podcast because we just love having you here. We love talking about football, and we do it every single day of the year. So make sure you join us tomorrow for your April 2nd edition of the podcast. And we have some great bonus podcasts this week on our Football by Numbers series, and we have some excellent guests joining us, as well as a couple solo podcasts, but it's a great Football by Numbers series. So you want to check that out to get even more football history, and to get even more sports history, join us on the Sports History Network, where you can see the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear with some great hosts and great podcasts and guests by many of my partners on the Sports History Network, and it's just a great place to be, and you want to check that out, sportshistorynetwork.com. And so till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.